The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Jim is with us, the indispensable Garrity, we call him. We also call him Jet Fans Jim. And he's been a little touchy recently because the Jets, well, Christian McCaffrey has 866 yards in total offense this season. All of the Jets, all of them combined, have 718 yards. So it's been a rough five games for Jim Garrity. Hello, Jim.
You know, Hugh, I was assured all off season that Adam Gase was an offensive genius. And that, you know, despite the fact that I was kind of skeptical, and a whole bunch of fans in New York were like, you know, this guy was nothing special in Miami. We had all of these young, up and coming college coaches to choose from. Like, no, trust us, Adam Gase, the guy with the bug eyes. He's the guy who knows what he's doing. And keep waiting. And
you know,
that offensive. He is offensive.
My fear is that the Jets or the Redskins will offer to trade a first and a third to Cleveland, and John Dorsey will trade himself to those organizations because they need a GM. They need a GM who can pick a quarterback. All right, let's get to politics, Jim. I've had on John Allen, Karen Tumulty, Chris Saliza. I've had the same conversation. You're my fourth Beltway pundit this morning. I think.
Hold on, Hugh. I'm outside the Beltway.
Okay. Oh, you're a Beltway guy. Come on. The centrifugal forces are drawing you in. I'm a Beltway guy, too, but I'm in California this morning. So my question is this. I read Cipollone's letter. I believe that the president is going to win the argument that this is an impeachment kangaroo court, and a kangaroo court impeachment is denominated by departure from precedent that we have in Clinton and Nixon impeachments. The minority in the House always gets the right to subpoena witnesses. The proceedings are always public. Both of those rules have been broken. And Cipollone said, we're not playing your game. I think he wins this. What do you think?
I'm going to give you a preview of the Morning Jolt newsletter, which I'm about to send off to the editors shortly after we conclude this conversation to you. Hugh, I believe that the powers and authority of an elected office do not change depending on whether or not you like or agree with the person in that office. That means if the House of Representatives says you have to turn over these documents, you have to make this person available to testify, even if you want to invoke executive privilege for explicit stuff about giving advice to the president. If you want to say, you know, we're going to have a subpoena, the president does not get a chance to just say that. But I also remember having this fight back in 2012 over Eric Holder and documents relating to Fast and Furious. And back then, there were a whole bunch of people all around Washington who said, well, look, clearly the committee chair is a partisan hack. Clearly this is all just an effort to do something in an election year. Clearly, you know, so they don't have to agree to that. Eric Holder does not have to agree to that subpoena because it doesn't count because the chairman is partisan. So we established that precedent back in 2012. You know, the House found Eric Holder in contempt. My suspicion is at some point during this process, this House of Representatives are going to find a lot of Trump administration officials in contempt. And a lot of Trump administration officials are going to say, what are you going to do about it? I hold you in contempt, too.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. But I want to go to the more interesting thing. Holder was simply congressional oversight, and he blew him off. This is impeachment. It is the highest form of intra-branch competition, Article 1 and Article 2, right? And Article 2 is saying to Article 1, screw you, because Article 1 has long-established processes which are deeply embedded in norms of due process, which are not in the Constitution, but neither is a kangaroo court in the Constitution. And I think if Trump stands on that ground and simply says, impeach me, you guys, you're going to run a kangaroo court, I'm going to go to the Senate and say it's a kangaroo court, end of story, vote. And it'll get bounced out, and it will be forever to the embarrassment of Pelosi and Schiff, because they won't do those. You know, we've all watched Telly Savalas and every other cop show forever. We know what due process is. And if the House Democrats in the 1974 impeachment of Nixon gave the House Republicans the authority to call witnesses. And if the House Republicans in the 1998 impeachment of Bill Clinton gave the Democrats the authority to call witnesses, if they're not doing it this time, something stinks.
Yeah, the Democrats have a choice before them. And either choice could work out for them okay, but they got to choose which one. First, option one is, okay, you want us to vote on it? We're going to vote on it. Let's have the House vote to formally open the inquiry. Would it put a few House Democrats in an awkward spot? Probably, but they'll get 218 votes, no problem with that. And then to say every time the White House says, well, you haven't done X. Okay, let's do X.
Yep.
Now we've done it, you got to comply. That's option one. Option two is to say, you, the White House, are a bunch of partisan hacks too. You're terrible, et cetera. And we're gonna run this thing so fast it might as well have a drive through lane. And we're gonna do this bing bang boom. We're gonna, send over articles of impeachment before the end of the year. Heck, maybe before Christmas. We're gonna send this over there really fast. Because if you're Nancy Pelosi and you've tried to resist this for the better part of 2019, you want this done quick. You don't want this dragging on well into 2020. You don't want this being argued while the Democrats are still choosing their nominee. Because if you spend 6 months to a year arguing about should Donald Trump continue to be president, and it ends sometime in late winter or early spring of 2020, and then you head into another 6 months of basically arguing should Donald Trump continue to be president of the United States, it is entirely possible that the American public will say, we're so tired of this. You've never given this guy a chance. You've been arguing about this guy being a Russian agent from the beginning. Stop telling us that we can't have this choice, and we're going to reelect this guy. I don't think it's a guarantee, but I think that's certainly within the realm of possibilities. And so I think if you're Pelosi, you want this in the rearview mirror. You want a space between the end of impeachment and the beginning of the 2020 campaign, because otherwise Americans might just get tired of the whole thing.
Well, tired of it, but also disgusted. And I do believe it's hard to take Trump out of any conversation, because Trump is now so deeply embedded. There's a centrumpical force, I call it, that draws everything into Trump. But just try and extract Trump from the equation. We are deep believers in due process and precedent. And when we see the rules, I made the sports analogy to Chris Saliza earlier, that we remember the 1972 gold medal game because the Russians replayed it three times until they won. We remember bad calls, the phantom interference in last year's Super Bowl. We remember bad calls forever. Bad calls ruin sports games. They also ruin impeachments, and the Democrats have made two of them already, and they're just getting started.
Yeah. If you had a magic wand and you jumped from January 20th, 2019, I'm sorry, 2017, and you jumped to today, and you put forth all of this information before the American public, you'd probably get a whole bunch of Americans gasping, saying, oh, my God, this guy's a maniac. This guy has no idea what he can't separate the personal interest from the national interest. The conversation with Ukraine is a straight-up abuse of power, and they get rid of him. But it hasn't. Meantime, we've had the Russia investigation. We've had Adam Schiff assuring us that there was clear-cut, straight evidence that he was being controlled by Russia. We've had the Kavanaugh hearings and the general sense of a whole bunch of people, particularly amongst anybody right of center, that this was an absolute effort to demonize and smear a good man because they just didn't want him to get on that court. All of this is prologue and sets the mindset and the stage of everybody involved, and nobody's going to give an inch in this type of situation. So I think it's a long, ugly fight until election night 2020, and then the option is, then what kind of long, ugly fight replaces it?
There's going to be a long, ugly fight one way or the other. I am now interested in fact, let me play for you Catherine Herridge last night. Dropped a bombshell on Fox News. It is cut number whatever it is. Play it for Jim Garrity, please. Cut
Thank
number
you, Sean.
14.
Good evening. A senior administration official confirms to Fox News that the investigation into the genesis of the 2016 FBI Russia collusion case is expanding based on the findings of U.S. Attorney John Durham. Appointed by Attorney General William Barr in May, the investigation now has global reach, with Durham recently traveling to Britain and Italy to pursue surveillance leads, as well as working with Australian authorities. The investigation also adding more agents, more resources, for an expanded timeline, which now stretches from the spring of 2016 to May 2017, when the president fired FBI Director James Comey and then Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appointed special counsel Robert Mueller. Based on my two decades covering intelligence and law enforcement, the expanded Durham probe indicates that he has found evidence that likely points to criminal wrongdoing by reputation. Durham is not a prosecutor to ask for more help if there is simply no there. Separately, administration officials tell Fox News there there is new scrutiny of the Mueller appointment. Coordination between Rosenstein and Mueller in the days before the announcement, as well as allegations Rosenstein offered to wear a wire and secretly record the president, which he has publicly denied. Multiple administration officials tell Fox News that when Mueller met with the president on May 16, 2017, he was indeed pursuing the post left open by the firing of Comey a week earlier. And they say newly released records back up the White House account.
So, Jim Garrity, what I'm pointing out, this is the other flank of the Democrats. They're doing their Pickett's charge up the hill with impeachment. And I think they're not going to make it to the top of Seminary Ridge. At the meanwhile, Durham is out there on the flank, backed up by A.G. Barr and Hunter Biden and all this other stuff, plus Comey, plus McCabe, plus maybe John Brennan, other IC people we don't know, but certainly Strzok and Page. I think Durham's going to crash into their flank on this, and I think it's going to be, it could be potentially devastating to Democrats.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. Here's the thing. I had a corner post Friday, Hugh, where I observed that a lot of American politics over the last 3 years has been sitting and waiting for law enforcement investigations to end and waiting for the revelations to come out of that, whether it was the investigation into Hillary and her emails, and Comey said, well, she was very sloppy in her handling of this, but I see no intent of a crime, so I'm not going to do anything. And then, of course, the Russia investigation, the Mueller investigation, the IG report, the IG inspector's report looking into Comey, the IG inspector's report looking into Strzok and Lisa Page and all those guys. Most of these, Hugh, am I growing too cynical, or all most of those investigations turned out to be disappointments?
Very disappointing to the left, but what you're pointing out, but boy, do they hate it when you bring it up. Molly Hemingway has pointed out that you're not allowed to disagree with Manhattan elite media opinion on these things, because then they get very angry, even if you disagree with them, and point out, well, you know, that's not really working outside the Beltway. And it isn't working outside the Beltway.
Yeah, again, I guess for each one of these investigations, you know, whoa, wait till it comes. Oh, boy, when it comes out, this is going to be a bombshell. This is going to change everything. And it feels like we're waiting for Godot.
And that might be the case with Durham, by the way. I've told everyone, I didn't jump to conclusion that Mueller would be a bust. I thought it might be a bust, but I told the president, if he hadn't broken any laws, don't worry about it. And if Comey, McCabe, and the rest of them haven't broken any laws, they got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, so wait. If it comes out, then yes. It's something of a, I'm going to say a win-win, but it's one of those things where I would not get enormously emotionally invested in any one of these investigations turning out to be the earth-shattering, you know, Watergate on steroids that we keep being, you know, told by anonymous sources.
Like believing in Adam Gaze. Don't do it. Don't do it, Jim. Don't do it. But you can't have Dorsey, but it's going to cost you two first-rounders. Do you have a general manager in New York? Did the Jets have a general manager?
Yeah, so it's Joe Douglas, who used to be running stuff for Philadelphia. But the problem is they got rid of Mike Maignan, probably the dumbest man in the Jets organization. And they did it at the end of the draft, the end of the free agency period. Like, Joe Douglas is there at the start of the draft, and the only option he's had has been to...
Green is the new brown. Jim, green is the new brown. I just want to tell you that in the NFL terms, green is the new brown. Jim Garrity, the indispensable. Thank you, my friend. Morning Jolt. Go to nationalreview.com. Sign up for it.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.